This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, January 3, 2021. The Epiphany of the Lord, by Father William Doc Holliday.
I assume that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you.
May the words of my mouth and meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
When we commemorate particularly the most important solemnities of the year, this day, when we commemorate the Epiphany, I always have to put the footnote, the Epiphany is on January 6th, that is this coming Wednesday. Today we commemorate it. That's a commercial for Wednesday when it is truly the Epiphany. But nonetheless, when we look at these things, we have to appreciate the fact that God, He gives each and every one of us an Epiphany. And we look at these Bible stories, we just got done Christmas. We look at I wish I could see the manger with Jesus. Or, why doesn't God just, put a star up in the sky and have it light all the churches in the world? And everybody will know. He does things like that once. He does things like that once in order to drive the point home. And then we live a life of faith. We live a life of faith in what He has done, what He has shown us. But we never want to lose sight of the fact that these things are not a matter of just a really profound thing that God did in the past. He does the same thing in each and every one of our lives. It's just done in a much more ordinary manner. It's not near as dramatic as it was with stars and mangers and heavenly hosts coming down and praising God. We have to live a life of faith. We have to approach our faith in a way that is more ordinary, but nonetheless as profound. When we look at the readings for today, for instance, we see in the gospel the Magi, the three wise men who come and find our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, a very dramatic story. But when we look at our lives as individuals, we have the second reading, which speaks of an individual who had an epiphany, Saul of Tarsus. Saul of Tarsus had an epiphany. And this is an interesting way to look at God does not work consistently with all people. The Magi, they have a star and they just follow it because of their faithfulness and they move forward. The rest is history. Saul of Tarsus is in a little bit of different condition in his life. He's breathing fire out on the church. He is arresting Christians. He holds the coats while they stone Stephen, the proto-martyr, to death. And he consents there. He's a murderer. He's good with murdering these Christians. God wants to give him an epiphany, and his is a little bit different than the wise men. God thrashes him. God beats him senseless to the ground and blinds him. Kind of interesting. Look, St. Paul, oh my gosh, what's happening to me? He hits the ground and he's blind and he looks up and he says, Lord, who are you? There is no doubt in his mind who's doing this to him. That's an epiphany. This is how God works. He knows our frame. He knows what will get our attention. And when we look at St. Paul, that was an epiphany. The epiphany that St. Paul had set him straight. He's blinded and then taken. The Lord sent someone to baptize him. Always got a kick out of that part of the scripture. Go baptize Saul of Tarsus. Lord, don't you know what he's done to your church? Thank you very much. Can I be God for a second? Yeah, I know what he's done. Go baptize him. But on his way to baptize him, he also tells him, and tell him how much he must suffer for me. Because of my grace and mercy, I just wanted Paul to love me, so I converted him and, I just sent him out in the desert to live a holy life and get married and have kids and raise a nice Catholic family. No, I got some things for you to do, Paul. I got this thing for you to do, and it's not going to be pleasant. You're going to be the apostle to the Gentiles. You're going to write 2/3 of the New Testament but you're going to be stoned almost to death. You are going to be, we always think about a scourging of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, how horrendous that was. And it was. A good portion of people who were scourged died during the scourging. Our Lord Jesus Christ was scourged. Paul was scourged several times. Several times. He was beaten with rods. He was shipwrecked. And he would wind up getting his head cut off. Yeah. Why? Because you share the gospel. That's very dramatic too. Just like the wise men. But when we look at these things, we have to understand that these are given for, as the scriptures say, our learning. How God works with us. God will get our attention one way or another. Some people, it is kind of simple, sort of like the Magi. They're born into a Catholic family. They're baptized. They're confirmed. They just live their happy Catholic life. Unfortunately, a lot of folks who that's the course, they take it for granted. There are other people who have an epiphany later on in life. They go through this, they go through that. They might be a pagan, they might be involved in other religions, but the Holy Spirit opens their eyes and they become Catholics. We have a confirmation today. It still works. It's epiphany. Nobody does this on their own. You know, I've been thinking about things and I'd really like to get up in front of a bunch of people and have a rite put on me because I like hanging out in that church because I like the music. No, it doesn't work like that. It's like the Holy Spirit has opened my eyes to the fact that if I want to go to heaven and I want to be as close to God as I possibly can, I got to be a Catholic because that's the gospel. St. Paul, when he's converted, he writes in that second reading today, the stewardship of God's grace that was given me for you. When we receive an epiphany, no matter how it is, whether we're born into a Catholic family or we become Catholics later on, we have been enlightened and we have to cooperate with that enlightening and learn our faith. St. Paul did. It wasn't like St. Paul became St. Paul after his conversion, although he started teaching, he still spent 3 years out learning and growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that wasn't the only revelation that he had when he got knocked senseless on the road to Damascus. He also, later on in his life, he was taken up to heaven before he died. You got it going on when God takes you up to heaven before you die. He takes you up there and it's so glorious, he says, don't say anything about this to anyone. And then, to make sure you don't, he puts a thorn in your flesh, which you don't know what it was, but we know that it was bad, and that we know that it was given him to keep him from being spiritually prideful. If you get taken up to heaven by God before you die, you could have a tendency to be spiritually prideful. God will fix it. This is how he works. This is what he does. And he does it in each and every one of our lives. Because just like St. Paul, we have been given and had our eyes open to the mystery of which he speaks. A lot of times when we hear mysteries of our faith, you think about the Eucharist, the confessional, God's a Trinity, three in one, those things that cannot be comprehended, cannot be expressed in words, because they are truly mysteries of the faith. Paul's not speaking about those. He's talking about a mystery that you can't get your head around, that you need to understand. And that mystery is the gospel. And he speaks of this gospel that was a mystery up until the advent of Jesus Christ. All the Old Testament prophets, they all spoke of this coming Messiah. There's going to be this girl, Mary, and she's going to be a virgin, and she's going to have this man, Jesus Christ, and he's going to die for your sins on a cross. It was never like that. Just illusions and shadows and remarks. They knew he was coming. They didn't know how. And then when our Lord Jesus Christ gets here, and this is the mystery of which Paul speaks, and it is the mystery that has been given us also. And we have to do just like St. Paul did, but we have to proclaim it to other people. The mystery of the gospel, this is a sad, sad state, and I use that as a gross overstatement. To understand that even in our own church, that there are many, in the Catholic world, many, who don't know the gospel. They don't know the gospel. All they ever hear when they come to Mass is about immigration, bishops' appeals, and on occasion how much God loves you and really doesn't care what you do. That is a lie. It's false. It's an obfuscation of what the gospel is. The gospel that St. Paul presented and was given was the gospel that everyone on the face of this planet, if you're going to go to heaven, you have to get there through Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Well, that, he could mean this. We don't exactly know what he means. Yeah, we do. Paul did. The church always has. And we do. But there are many people who don't. Everybody on the face of the planet, you're going to get to heaven, you're going to go through Jesus Christ. Everybody should be united under one Lord. He actually said that. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. How many times have you, well, those faith groups over there, there's no such thing. There's no such thing. There is one faith. That's the Catholic faith. One. There are other groups of religious people, but there's one faith. St. Paul says, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. And they're to be united in one church. This is why our Lord Jesus Christ didn't establish a bunch of them. He established one. You are Peter. On this rock, I will build my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. He doesn't say it's not going to be beat senseless, but he said the gates of hell won't prevail against it. And he's talking about people that are faithful to this gospel. This is the reality of things. And this is why so many do not know it. This is what we have to know. This is what the Epiphany is all about. It is about the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's for everyone. And we talked about the patriarch Abraham last week. It befuddles me. The Jews, Abraham, our father. But, you know, it's about us. We're the Jews, the haves and have-nots. You know, they're Gentiles, we're Jews, we're the chosen people of God. And they claim to have Abraham as their patriarch. And what was God's promise to Abraham? Through you, Israel will be blessed? No. Through you, all nations will be blessed. The gospel has always been for everybody. It's not a New Testament thing. It just became very clear in the New Testament. It was obscured and imperfect in the old, that it was the same gospel, and now we know who it is, and now it is still for all nations, for everyone, not for devout Christians. St. Paul received this grace, we've received this grace. That line that he says, the stewardship of God's grace that was given me for you, we can use that same words for us. Because by the virtue of your baptism, whether you want to deny it or not, you have a mission. You are to, in your circle of family and friends, proclaim this gospel, unadulterated, crystal clear, or there will be a reckoning. There's going to be a reckoning for the church not presenting it in many places as it's to be presented. We let them worry about that. Worry about your own reckoning. I worry about mine. I got enough to answer for. I'm not going to mess it up by trying to color up things to make people not be offended by things. That's the gospel. When you receive it, God's favor, as he says to Paul, it's not shown for Paul, but for others. God's grace that was given me for you. We have received the grace of the Holy Spirit to proclaim this to other people. You didn't receive what you have because you're the paragon of spirituality. Sorry to be the bearer of bad news. You've been given grace to share with others. That's Epiphany. We don't keep light to ourselves. We're not different than St. Paul. And we just may have to suffer for it. We will. If you're doing it right. Did not our Lord Jesus Christ say, they're going to hate you because they hated me first. I have not come to bring peace but a sword. I will divide mother from daughter, father from son. It goes through all family relationships. If you got friends that you're worried about offending, yeah, that's nothing. That's suffering. It's a little bit of a martyrdom. Nothing what Paul had to deal with. But I mean, suffering's part and parcel of this. You looked at your bulletin, the second reading, didn't it? Ephesians chapter 3, verse 2. Isn't there something that comes before 2? Like 1? What does it say in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1? I, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, on behalf of you Gentiles. Then he goes on. Well, let's take that out because that sounds kind of negative. You know, what's that to have? What does that have to do with anything? It has everything to do with it. It founds his whole I have to proclaim the gospel, and you know what? It landed me in jail. You know, generally jail is like a humiliating thing. Guess what? If you wind up there for righteousness' sake, it's a feather in your cap. It's meritorious. When all this first started to happen with the whole virus thing, I got that a couple times. You know, cops could actually show up, man. They could actually... They've been arresting us for 2,000 years plus, all right? Ain't a thing. As a matter of fact, I look at all the apostles. Most of them were in jail, and most of them got executed. Capital punishment stuff. I, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, on behalf of you. That's how much we should care about other people. You should really make it secondary as to whether or not we find ourselves in a position where if we're faithful, bad things happen to us. We're doing the right thing. As long as you can, in your well-formed conscience, think of standing before the judgment seat of Christ and going, you know what? I'm good with this. I'm good with it because I just have another opportunity because God's put me somewhere else to evangelize. And it's not necessarily our words, first and foremost. It's the way we live our life. The perception of people. There's a draw. There's a draw. People are around you and they're just like, they start talking about things of the faith. Yeah, that's why clerics should like wear clericals and things like that. Because people are drawn to that. I stand around airports and people come up to me. Hey, usually start out, Father, I went to Catholic high school. back of my mind is like, that's probably why you don't go to Mass anymore. But yeah, I don't say that. But it's an icebreaker, okay? And we talk to people. It's a proclamation. We need to proclaim this gospel in its clarity because that gets people into heaven. And God bless us. Because you know what it is at the end of the day? At the end of the day, everything is about, and it always comes back to this, no matter what the theological schema is, no matter what the discussion is, at the end of the day, it's about worshiping God. It's about adoring him. That's why things are what they are traditionally in the church when it comes to worship. You come in here, you're silent because you're in the presence of Almighty God, and you worship him while you're in here with the utmost of reverence. We can't do enough for Cardinal Lorenzo, gotta love him. Somebody asked him one time about, you know, is it better to receive on your knees than standing up? He chuckled, yeah. If you really think you're worthy of it, you should be crawling up there on your face. It would just take a long time, so we kneel down. We should adore our Lord Jesus Christ. The Magi, when they find our Lord Jesus Christ, and always, footnote, always through his mother, it doesn't say, and they found the child in his house. They found Jesus and Mary, because that's how he works. But at the bottom line, it's adoration. When the Magi found our Lord Jesus Christ, what's the first thing they did? They gave him presents. No, they didn't. That was not the first thing they did. They fell on their face and they worshiped him. Then they opened their presence. It is all about adoration. It is all about worship. And him, this whole horizontal thing that you hear about all the time, that's trash. We come in here to worship God. He's the center of everything. The holy sacrifice of the Mass is not a reenactment of the Lord's Supper where we all share. It's the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ where he presents him to yourself and you as an individual come up properly disposed after you examine your conscience. And it is about you and him. It's not what everybody else is doing. That is fallacious. It's not the truth. The altar is a sacrifice. And on that sacrifice, who is on the cross? Our Lord Jesus Christ in a bloodless manner. And we receive him individually. This is what this is about. It's about adoration and worship. So you've been given an epiphany. Your eyes have been opened. And it doesn't matter how much or how little you know, you should know the truth. And you should present that truth clearly because it will, when you understand the truth, you will worship him the way he wants to be worshipped. And when you proclaim it to others, they will also. That's why God created us. He created us to adore and worship him. That's the bottom line. It's not philosophical. Okay. Oh, why are we here? To worship God and adore him. And if you don't, there's a serious problem. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.